A lady named Mrs. Adams always went to a certain post office in her town because the workers there were so friendly. One time, Mrs. Adams went in to buy stamps, but the lines were very long because it was just before Christmas. Someone pointed out there was no need to wait in line because there was a stamp machine in the lobby. "I know," she said, "but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis." If people matter to God, then people should matter to us. Let's pray. Jesus, we allow you to search our hearts today for attitudes and motivations that might be a little off. It is so easy to be unkind in our thoughts or our actions to those around us. Help us to respond to the difficulties in life with grace. We pray this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1-5. Ernie will put it up on the screen. You can follow along. I'm going to read it. 1 Peter 5, 1-5. "Now as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight not under compulsion but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll win the crown of glory that never fades away. In the same way, you who are younger must be subject to the elders. And all of you must clothe yourself with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Throughout the letter in 1 Peter, the apostle reaffirms the premise that these Christians will experience suffering and persecution firsthand, but also how the church will be able to live through it. Just like Jesus knew suffering, they would also experience it as his followers. If you fully identify your life with Jesus, suffering is guaranteed. I'll say it again. If you identify yourself fully with Jesus, suffering is guaranteed. In this text, Peter addresses three different people groups: the elders, young members, and then the whole church. When we find ourselves in situations that seem disappointing or unfair, we need to be reminded it's not so much what happens to us, but how we choose to respond to the event. Daily, we're making choices that are leading us toward Christ or away from him. 1 Peter 5, 1-4. The apostle describes the privilege and the responsibility of elders. Peter starts in verse 1 by saying, "Now," referring back to 1 Peter 4:19, which says, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Peter then identifies himself as a fellow elder, one who's also witnessed and experienced suffering. "Now as an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you." In identifying with them, he can relate with the joy and the difficulties that go with being an elder. He points to three common denominators that each of them have gone through. They're elders, they've all witnessed the suffering of Jesus, and thirdly, they will all partake in the future glory. Most of these elders would have been spread out throughout the different churches in Asia Minor. The future glory will be when Jesus is revealed to the whole world as Savior, as King, as Lord. In verse 2, Peter uses the metaphor of a shepherd to encourage these leaders in the midst of the challenges that they were facing. "To tend the flock of God that is your charge, exercising the oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly." This is also the imagery Jesus used in John 21:16, when he asked Peter to feed the sheep. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The same kind of responsibilities a shepherd has to the flock, such as feeding, leading, guiding, protecting, caring for. These overseers are to watch out for God's people who are under them. Peter then goes on to point out one's motivation for being an elder. He says, don't take this position on because of external pressure, but do it with a willing heart. What a difference there is when we want to do something like taking out the garbage, cooking, or gardening, or when it becomes a have to, a complete chore. Secondly, he says, don't be greedy for money, but be eager to serve. When gathering money or possessions is our main priority, we don't have time or energy to pour our lives unconditionally into others. Instead of being self-centered, their focus is other-centered. All the resources that the church community has comes from people of faith freely giving. The people giving, trusting that God will replenish their generosity and provide for their daily bread. And those administering such resources need to handle these gifts by being accountable to God in how it's dispersed. And finally, 1 Peter 5:3 says, don't lord it over those you're in charge of, but be examples to the flock. These positions were not to be used as places of power or to get the upper hand on another, but rather as strategic opportunities to serve as many people as possible. Those who lead should act in such a way that others would want to model themselves after them. Leaders cannot demand respect. They must earn it by how they live. I don't know what happens to us when we get placed in positions to lead, whether at school or at work, but we can turn into complete control freaks. I don't know. Maybe the air gets lighter up there, and we're not getting enough oxygen to our brains. Use your giftings. Use your experience to serve and care and love for others. Let's use our influence for good instead of evil, intentionally dealing with the selfishness and pride in our lives is so important. It'll often have a direct impact on our future. If we can set aside our own agendas, it'll free us up to do God's agenda, loving God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We start caring for others like we care for ourselves. The longer we walk with Christ, the more grace and humility should be evident in our lives. This is what spiritual maturity is. Peter concludes this section of verse 4 by saying, when the chief shepherd appears, they'll win a crown of glory that never fades away. When the Lord Jesus returns, he will honor those who have been faithful to what he's called them to do. We equally can be faithful in what he's called each of us to do. Samuel Logan Brangle, that name might sound familiar to some of you, he was pretty high up in the Salvation Army. He said this, spiritual leadership is not won by promotion, but by prayer and tears. It's attained by much heart-searching and humbling before God, by self-surrender, a courageous sacrifice of every idol, a bold, uncompromising, and uncomplaining embrace of the cross. May this be true of us. 1 Peter 5:5 directs his thoughts to the actions of young members and the rest of the church community. In verse 5, Peter says, in the same way, just as these overseers are to be responsible and faithful in their positions, younger members were to be willingly submit under the authority of those placed over them. These younger ones were to pay heed to the wisdom of the elders and respond accordingly. In the same way, you who are younger must be subject to the elders. And all of you must clothe yourself with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Boy, do we ever need grace. It is possible the reason Peter isn't addressing everyone that is older, the older ones, they already understand God's wisdom regarding those being placed over them. Throughout history, those who display gray and white hair have often been considered to obtain some form of wisdom. Now, there are always exceptions to the rule, as one of my friends was getting gray hair in high school. It leaves a possible impression that these have experienced the difficulties and sufferings in this world and against all odds are still alive. In the last 100 years, things have changed so rapidly that we might look for the latest technology to help guide us in being able to solve our dilemmas. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says this, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun." In the 1960s, I've read that you couldn't trust anyone over 30. That wasn't until the baby boomers hit that age themselves. As we grew up, many of us thought our parents were clueless to what we were experiencing. But by our mid-20s, mid-30s, mid-40s, mid-50s, you begin to discover your parents seem to be getting smarter as they get older. It was with joyful acceptance that these younger ones were to submit to those in leadership and direction over them. In our culture, it has become popular to attack anyone who's in any form of leadership, from parents to political leaders to teachers to law enforcement to spiritual leaders, as being the problem of our lives. God does indeed work through those over us for our protection and development, and they are worthy of the respect and honor we give them. In this passage, Peter says, those who are young must accept the authority of the elders. The elders' role is to serve by leading, while the younger members' service is to work within the structure laid out by the leadership. The leaders were not to be arrogant or unkind, and the younger members were not to rebel against the authority of the elders, but both were to have mutual respect for each other. Peter ends in verse 5 by saying, all of you, you followers of Christ, must clothe yourself with humility, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How do we know if you're becoming mature in your faith? A good indicator of our spiritual growth is whether humility is evident in our lives. Do we always need to be right? Do we always have to have the last word? Do things always need to go our way? If we're being honest with ourselves, the more we learn and understand, the more we realize how little we really do know. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I only know in part, then I'll know fully." Have you ever wondered why geese fly in a V formation? Unfortunately, only too soon, we're going to see these geese line up and head south. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird following. The V formation, the whole flock is able to add 71% more flying range than if it was flying by itself. Like geese, people who share a common direction and a sense of community can get where they're going quicker and easier than those who try and go it alone. When a goose gets tired, it rotates to the back of the formation and another goose flies at the point position. If people had as much sense as geese, they would realize that their ultimate success depends on working as a team, taking turns during the hard tasks, and sharing leadership. Geese in the rear of the formation honk to encourage those up front to increase their speed. When a goose gets sick or wounded, two other geese drop out of formation and follow it down to the ground to provide protection. They stay with an unhealthy member of the flock until they're able to fly again. We're always better together. Have you ever been close to a sheep or a lamb? They tend to be a little shy, but they're very gentle and lovable creatures. They have both good eyesight and good hearing, but they're pretty well defenseless. Thus, they need a shepherd to care for them. This text is speaking very directly to pastors and leaders of the churches throughout Asia Minor. Those who have been given the responsibility and the privilege to lead our local church communities will equally have much to be accountable for before God and how they treated the sheep. When we meet as elders, I'm sure I've mentioned more than once that I think each of them are a bit crazy. Do the elders want to stand right now? No, hold off. They're crazy for taking on such a position. But I am grateful for their service, and so is the church family. Let me encourage you to be constantly praying for your pastors and elders, for the motivation and the strength to serve eagerly and willingly, being gracious and humble to those they are over. We all have been hurt by people that have disappointed and failed us in some way that were over us. The challenge is not to remain hurt, but to forgive. Let me say openly that I am sorry for the times that I've hurt you. Please forgive me. All of us have failed others, and we've even failed ourselves. Fortunately, through Jesus, we've been given the gift of forgiveness and healing. Secondly, this is also a good example for each of us as we lead wherever we are and directing others by serving as parents, workers, students, volunteers, inside the church or outside. Each of us should focus on how we can love and serve those around us. In many ways, each of us can pastor those around us by pointing them to Jesus and serving, loving, and caring for the least of these. Let's pray. Jesus, you taught your disciples that the one who wanted to be first would be last. Help us to move beyond our own interests so we can love and serve those around us. We want to be faithful to you in all we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. a couple announcements, benediction. We'll sing one more song and be dismissed. Just a reminder, our summer camp starting on the 18th. If you just be praying for that in relationship to the young people and kids that will be coming and all those who will be serving through the week. If you want prayer today, there will be someone in the back corner to pray with you. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that those who want to be leaders in God's kingdom need to embrace two very important things with all of your heart. It's humility and the ability to serve others through love. Not a love that we have on our own, but a love that Jesus gives us that surpasses the difficulty, the hardship, and the circumstance. Amen.
Amen. Would you please stand while we close? In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, good week, and carry